Please open the scripture to Luke chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 18 following. Page 1091 in the Pew Bible. For most of us, we've come to an understanding of who Christ is, and He has forgiven us our sins and made us part of a larger kingdom. As we think about the kingdom of Christ, how might we think of it? What thoughts and understanding might come to mind as we think about the kingdom of God? Let's stand and read about it together from Luke chapter 13, verse 18 and following. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree, and the birds perched or nested in its branches." He also asked, "What else is the kingdom of God like? It is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, that's about 50 pounds, it permeated every part of the dough." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. When I first did my pastoral internship in Los Angeles a few decades back, I remember on numerous Sundays how the various individuals in the congregation would regularly apologize to me because of the attendance in this little congregation that was meeting in a rented facility. And it just made a huge impression upon me that they were apologetic about their smallness. Truth is that most of U.S. churches are small. According to Lyle Schaller, a major leader in congregational studies, he says of 325,000 Protestant churches in America, about two-thirds of the churches have 100 worshipers or less. He says 110,000 have 51 to 100 worshipers. 40,000 churches have 26 to 50 worshipers, and 50,000 have 25 worshipers or less. Small is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, isn't God saying, as He speaks to the prophet Zechariah, "Who despises the day of small things?" Zechariah 4:10. Of course, there it's talking about the God building a work that He had just begun to lay the foundation for. What is the kingdom of God? How might we think of it? Notice the images that Jesus chooses, too. A tiny mustard seed and a little yeast. Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It's like a tiny mustard seed. What else is the kingdom of God like? It's like a little yeast." Notice Jesus does not say the kingdom of God is like a camel. It's not like an elephant. The kingdom of God is not like the Mediterranean Sea, which is roughly 1 million miles square. He could have chosen those images. But he says instead the kingdom of God is like a little seed, like a pinch of yeast, small. Given the context historically, it's no wonder he spoke this way. And the mentality that many had expected with the coming of the Messiah, with the ushering in of God's kingdom, they would have expected something much greater, something much more powerful, something a little closer perhaps to Palm Sunday with all the celebration, jubilation, and the mobs of people praising and applauding. Some people are looking for a big payday. You know, we've all been there. Looking for instant success, instant promotions. Looking for instant mature relationship. If we could just find someone who was mature. If we could just have a church that was fully grown and mature and didn't have all these issues to face. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a little mustard seed. It's like a little pinch of yeast. And because the kingdom of God starts out small, it's not surprising that Christ was born in Bethlehem, a small town. It's not surprising that Christ was born into a small family, a poor family, I should say. It's not surprising that Christ was raised in an insignificant community, Nazareth. And Christ, it's not surprising about the apostles, his first core followers, whom he selected, these insignificant blue-collar workers. The people expected much more. And when he did do a miracle, you know what they tried to do? According to John chapter 6, 14, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew. See, the people wanted something big. They saw a miracle, they wanted more miracles. They wanted the whole payload. It was lottery time. They weren't expecting these words from 1 Corinthians 1:27. God chose the foolish things of this world to put the wise to shame. He chose the weak things of this world to put the powerful to shame. What the world thinks is worthless, useless. Useless and nothing at all is what God has used to build His kingdom. You see, what other people would destroy and minimize and cast aside, God considers important. The kingdom of God, yes, it starts small. And it's not only small. When it starts, it's alive. The kingdom is alive. Notice the images that Jesus chooses. Small seed, but it's a seed. It's not a small rock. And notice, it's a pinch of yeast. Organic. A little yeast, a little seed. These are living organisms that He's chosen. Remember, in the beginning, as God created the world, we do have a history of how the world began. It doesn't appear to be through what scientists call evolution. Some scientists would promote. But God creates a mature creation. But in the mature creation of all the various kinds, notice what He puts into the creation itself. These little seeds of life, each after its own kind. Jesus says, my kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, is just like that. It's a seed of life that I'm planting. It's alive. Remember, God is the God of the living, not the dead. And when we come into His kingdom, we're alive. Remember the words of St. Peter, chapter 1, verse 23, you have been given a new birth. It was from a seed that cannot die. This new life is from the Word of God, which lives forever. All people are like grass. Their greatness is like flowers. The grass dries, the flowers fall off. But the Word of the Lord will last forever. That Word is the good news which was preached to you. And folks, it's a seed of life that's been planted in you who believe in the incarnate Christ, the perfect man, the God who saves us from our sins by His sacrifice on the cross, and who lives at the right hand of God. He has given you, through your confidence in Him, a seed of life as He's drawn you into the kingdom. Yeah, a seed is small, but it's alive. And it's growing. Look at the images. He says, I give you a little small seed. I give you a little pinch of yeast. They're alive, and they're working. The kingdom of God is growing. He says in verse 19, kingdom of God, how shall I describe it? It's like a mustard seed that a man planted in a garden, and it grows, becomes a tree. It's like a pinch of yeast, a little yeast, verse 21, and it permeates throughout every part of the dough. You see, the yeast begins to grow and swell, and the bread enlarges. And the seed begins to sprout and become a sapling and then a tree. Robert Browning, the English poet and playwright, he says, why stay we on earth? He asks, why stay we on earth except to grow? It's been often said that if we're not growing, then we are dying. And the late Vance Havner, he said, too many have taken a stand, talking about taking a stand for Christ. They've taken a stand and are still standing. For years, they have made no progress. You know, so many people, and I think rightly from one angle, they say, well, I remember the day, the time, the event, where I was, when I trusted in Christ and took a stand for Christ. And then they quote the last thing God did in their life that was big, 1953. Well, what happened in 2003 or 1993? Don't give me 50 years when you came to life. What's been happening over the last 50? The kingdom God is living and it's growing. In fact, St. Peter expects growth. God expects growth. And so he says through the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Show that you're alive as you expose yourself to the means of growth. In grace, through prayer, through fellowship, through the worship, through coming in contact with the Word of God. As you think about your own life, Christian life, your spiritual life, think about your own vitality, your own life. And the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit, and by the way, the Spirit elsewhere is called a life-giving Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, you know, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now ask yourself over the past year, am I becoming kinder? Am I becoming more gentle? Do I have more joy? Or am I complaining more now than I ever was? And some people are really hard on themselves, and I'm afraid to ask that question, for them to ask the question, because every time they come up short, and it seems like they're getting worse. Well, the truth is, from a certain angle, the bigger your eyes are open, the worse you seem to be. Because you really get a good hold that you are depraved apart from the grace of God. And so sometimes it's hard to be objective, whether we're really growing or whether our eyes are just getting bigger. And so ask a friend. It's not always good to ask your spouse, but they can be helpful. Sometimes they can be objective. They want to be, if you're married, if you're not. Ask somebody else and say, can you be honest with me? You know, from your perspective over the last couple of years, have you noticed any movement at all? Maybe they don't. But somebody knows you. Ask them if they can help you. Say, what do you notice about me in my relationship to God? You don't even have to put it that way. You could just ask them. Am I meaner now than I was 2 years ago? Do they see Christ in you? Do they see that you're getting closer to the kind of person that God has for you? In fact, one day you'll be that person that you want to be down deep. You'll be just like Him, 1 John chapter 3. But now He's little by little growing us toward Him. And let me ask you one more question. Are you known more for your fear and worry, or all your confidence in Christ? Would you be known more to be a person who's confident that you're alive in Christ and well off, or that you're a person who's caught up in worry? In Christ, we have no basis for worry or fear. You remember what was said in the famous hymn, though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fell him. One word, and that word is Christ. In Christ, we have no basis for fear. And so, as you think about, and as people look at you, would they describe you more as a person who is confident in what God is doing through Christ for you and in you? Or are you more overwhelmed with the troubles around your life and your home and your work and your Sunday to Sunday? Kingdom of God is alive and it's growing. Growing in quality and growing in quantity. Remember when the early church, Jesus was starting the early church, a bit small, it didn't seem like it was going to be that big and successful. And many people tried to put out the fire that Christ had put in the lives of the apostles. This new life that He had brought to them through His sacrifice and His resurrection and giving them His Spirit, the life-giving Spirit. Some had tried to crush it out, smother it. In Acts 4:17, it says to stop this thing, this Christian thing, from spreading any further among the people, the Sanhedrin called the apostles again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And then it says they called the apostles and they had them flogged. And they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and then let them go. And of course, if you read on, it tells us what happened in history, right? It says that day after day, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news of Jesus. By the way, they rejoiced the fact that they suffered for His name. And then it says the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was strengthened and encouraged by the Spirit, and it grew in numbers as they lived in the fear of the Lord and not the fear of mankind. The church grew. That's the nature the nature of the kingdom of God. It grows. And sometimes it seems like peaks and valleys. But God, little by little, year after year, century after century, is growing His kingdom. Just as He's little by little growing it in your heart on a quality level, as you're maturing and becoming like the kingdom up in heaven, you're coming a little closer to perfection if you're alive. Believe me, you've got a long way to go, I know. Been around here for 29 years, and same with me. But God is adding to His kingdom, little by little. And those who would try to extinguish the kingdom of God, as in the early centuries, it's like throwing gasoline on a fire. It just causes it to go into blaze all the more. Growth is inevitable within the kingdom, as suggested with the image of the yeast and of the seed to the tree. That's the image Christ chose. Little seed growing to a tree, little yeast that's raising a loaf. And God's kingdom, what is it like? Well, it's like something that will spread through the world. Notice when he uses the image of the yeast, that it permeates every part of the dough. The yeast permeates through every part of the dough. Or we see the tree. Jesus just doesn't stop the image of the tree. He could have the seed growing up to the tree, and then the tree provides a resting place for the birds of the air. They come and rest in its branches. You see, it's the kingdom of God. It's spreading through the world. That's what the kingdom of God is about. It's about a little thing, a little seed, that it's alive, but it's spreading through the earth. Genesis 12:3 puts it this way. I will bless those, he's speaking to Abraham, who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It's the covenant of grace established in Abraham. And of course, we are the children of Abraham who have come to Christ through faith. That's what the New Testament tells us. We are His offspring. And we have come to be part of that blessing. Revelation 5:9 puts it this way. The saints or believers sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased people for God from every tribe and language, people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom to reign upon the earth. We see what Jesus is doing in the image here. He's telling us that as His kingdom is not only alive, it also is growing and it's reaching through the world to draw people into His kingdom. And you notice that there's two things I want to draw to your attention as we think about first, the tree image, and then the yeast. But in the image of the tree, you have a place of rest. That the birds are there, they're out sustaining their own lives, and you just can't fly through life all on your own. You need a place of rest. So the birds come to perch in the tree. And of course, the tree is the image of the kingdom. And now the birds are coming to rest. Jesus said elsewhere, "Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Some of you have found a resting place. Many of you have found a resting place in Christ. And that's the same place where you can rest every day, and not just one time when you come to find Him as Savior. The image really, the background for that, I believe, is from Ezekiel 17:22-24. where the Lord says, someday I, the Lord, will cut a tender twig and then I plant it. And it will grow, it's on a mountain, it will grow strong branches and produce large fruit. And all kinds of birds will find shelter under the tree. And they will rest in the shade of its branches. And I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will keep my word. So we find really a positive image here that God's building a kingdom and He's going to provide a place for rest. And folks, that place is in Christ. He's your resting place. You're worried, you're weary, you're worn down. You have a resting place today and every day of your life. And this is a call for us to rest in Christ. Unfortunately, some of us are like that guy described by a Philippine pastor. He's trying to describe about resting in Christ. And he says there was a man driving a wagon. And as he's going, driving his wagon, carrying his stuff on the back of it, he sees an old man along the side of the road. And this old man is carrying this heavy stuff on his shoulders. And he feels sorry for the guy because he's got this weight of the world on his shoulders. He says, come, get up in the wagon. He stops the wagon. Get up, old man, and get in the wagon and have some rest. And so the old man jumps on board and then brings his stuff on. And then as the guy's driving down the road, after a while, he checks back to see how the old man's doing. He looks, and the old man's sitting in the back, and he's still got this heavy weight, all this burden sitting on his shoulders in the back of the wagon. Folks, when we come to Christ, He wants us to rest in Him like the birds of the air. We don't sustain ourselves. We come and we rest completely in Him. It's an invitation. The kingdom of God is an invitation for you to rest in Christ. It's also, I believe, an invitation and a picture that we are to be influencing the world around us. The kingdom of God just doesn't happen automatic. It happens through influence. And that's the picture of the yeast. You see the yeast in this image. And verse 21, that the little bit of yeast, it's just a little pinch, but it's alive, it's active, and it permeates all throughout the dough. And so in Ecclesiastes 11:6, it says, in the morning, plant your seeds. In the evening, keep your hands busy. You don't know what will succeed. It may be one, it may be the other, or both might do equally well. It's a call to keep planting those seeds. Keep doing little things to try to influence, because you don't know what's going to grow. And I'll close with this other illustration, but about influence. I was reading, I think it was Tony Campolo, was telling about the power of influence, influencing people for Christ. He said it was in South Africa. There was during the apartheid period, there was a rule or a law that said, if you're walking on these narrow sidewalks, that there's not room enough for two people to get by. If a black man came across a white man, they're walking toward each other, the black man had to step down into the ditch, and the white man, was given the preference, and it was out of respect to step aside. And that was the way the rules were. And there's this little young black boy with his mother, and Campolo says, as they're walking along the sidewalk, I guess they were perhaps walking single file, and as they're walking, a white man, a tall white man comes, and the white man steps into the ditch. And as they're walking by, the white man tips his hat to the black woman, the mother. And they walk on their way. And the little boy was puzzled. He says, I don't understand. He says, why did that man, step off into the gutter? And why did he tip his hat? And the mother said, he tipped his hat out of respect to me. And he stepped off into the ditch because he's an Anglican minister. And he's a man of God. And that little black boy said, he said, on that day, he said, Desmond Tutu, he said, that's when I knew I wanted to be an Anglican minister. That's when I especially knew I wanted to be a man of God. And I'm not here to use that illustration so that we'll all become Anglican ministers, or that we'll all grow up and win Nobel Peace Prize like Desmond Tutu. But I am here to say that we are to be tipping our hats with acts of kindness toward other people, that we might influence them to become a man of God or a woman of God through the little pinch of kindness that we can give to the world around us, to influence them for Jesus Christ. In this particular text, this text is really about, it's about a little kingdom that will go a long way. Folks, you can count on. In Christ, a little kingdom will go a long way. And because in Christ, that kingdom will go a long way, He wants you to rest in Him. And He wants you to influence the people around you through kindness, a kind word, speaking the truth in love, just being a growing Christian. People can see you resting in Christ. They can see you growing in Christ. And as you simply do those things, we step back and we watch Christ build His kingdom in us and through us. It's true that in Christ, a little kingdom will go a long way. Therefore, rest and influence in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we bow before You. We thank You for these texts. Lord Jesus, these images You've given us, we've hopefully done them some justice to understand them, to share them, think about them. We pray that You would indeed grow Your kingdom in us and through us. So forgive us, Lord. Sometimes we think what we're doing is small and insignificant, doesn't really matter. Sometimes we might even think we're still dead in our sins. But we thank You for the gospel that You've given us, which has brought us to life, which has given us a small but a new beginning. And we thank You that we can be part of this growing kingdom. Oh Lord, help us to rest in You and use us to influence others into everlasting life. In Your name we pray, amen.